As been made abundantly clear today, it is a great day of celebration, and sadly, far too often, we just celebrate it once a year. When it's something we should be celebrating each and every day, and even more sadly, it's something that by many, by and large, in our faith, and in the Christian faith, those who follow Jesus never celebrate, as it is a season that's been put on a calendar, but it comes and goes, because it's just this day that comes and goes. When this is a very significant and important day, it is the day of Pentecost, the day that we recognize what it is that took place over 2,000 years ago, a day that was the fulfillment of the promise Jesus made to his disciples. That promise he made to them as he was about to depart from them. He explains that he was going to depart from them, that they would not see him any longer. But he promises them this great promise that even though they wouldn't see him any longer, as he went to go prepare a place for them, to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, that they would not be alone. For it says in John 14, 15 through 18, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Come indeed he has. And throughout every generation, come he has, just like we witnessed this morning when we read our call to worship from Acts 2, that the Spirit has been coming just like it did then, empowering his people, his church, for the work and mission that is ahead of them. And like we have discussed throughout this particular calendar year of the church, and even last calendar year of the church, when we were in our seasons of Lent, our seasons of Advent and Christmas, let us not let this moment escape us. The significance of this moment pass us by. What it is that we are celebrating? May it never be on our lips. Oh, it's Pentecost again. Sure, we can talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we do this every year, yada, yada, yada. Pentecost, whoopee. Let that never be in our hearts. May that spiritual level of apathy never come into our beings. But may this be a day of joy, a day of excitement, a day where we truly acknowledge and worship God for who he is. For God our Father, God above us, is God. So is Jesus the Son, God with us. And so is his Holy Spirit, God in us. Our God, three but yet one, revealed to us in three divine aspects. But the great author Francis Chan got it right a long time ago when he wrote one of his early books called Forgotten God. We so often forget the Holy Spirit. We so often forget that empowerment of God that he sends upon us, and it truly is sad, because Jesus himself says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And come he has. And he is here with us, in us, and through us in his Holy Spirit. He is upon us, bringing us to the major question, the grand challenge, the point of this time we're spending here together today in his word, the message that we're supposed to hear and respond to. The question being, how has the significance of this event, of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life, changed you? How has the significance of Jesus' very Spirit, God's Spirit, coming into our lives to reside in us, changed us? How has he empowering you? How has he equipped you, guided you, and moved you to live in God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? Each and every day. Has this reality changed your life? If not, why? For this is the very purpose of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit, Jesus appealing to the Father to send us another helper. And this was something that me and Pastor Dayton were talking about this past week. And I just got to do a side comment here. How blessed are we to have Faith Community Church in Visalia willing to come in and step in. And just next time you see the Kittermans, just make sure to tell them that you are grateful for them. I know I am. It is such a blessing. And beyond that, even when they're not here because they're at Faith Community where God has put them, we get to meet quite a bit throughout the week and just talk about what God is doing in our lives and God is doing in the ministry that he has called and equipped us for. And we were having a conversation about this, that purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we were looking at Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to tell you, God sent my mind skyrocketing. Because there was something here that was always in front of me, something I knew, but it was always here in front of me. And God just fully affirmed. And I want to share that with you today. And that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit empowering, equipping, and moving and guiding us each and every day of our lives. The very purpose, the why God sends his Spirit. And it's not just so that we would be sanctified. We talk about that in the Church of God. Sanctification, that holiness. And that is the core identity of who we are as the Church of God, a people who are holy and set apart for God, sanctified with a purpose for God. But that's not the only reason. The only reason isn't the abandonment of sin. There is so much more going on here. We see it right here in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 3 through 5. It says this: he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And I want to stop here just for a moment, because this is where God just sent my mind skyrocketing as me and Pastor Dayton were talking about this. Jesus is not only explaining what was going to happen, he's explaining why. And we can often miss it. You know, after his resurrection, Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us exactly what Jesus does. He appears to his disciples for a course of 40 days. And he's only doing one thing only, Luke says. I'm sure there were some other things he did, but there was one primary thing he was doing, and that was teaching them about the kingdom of God. Boy, isn't that a class you would want to take? To be able to each and every day learn more and more about the kingdom of God? Here's the good news: you are. Through the Holy Spirit, you are. But here's Jesus with his disciples, preparing them for what's to come, explaining to them not just what will happen, but why it's going to happen. What an amazing moment we see. And what we need to understand is, Pentecost actually has a meaning. The name Pentecost, it means 50. And in particular, in our perspective, we are talking about 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus to the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spends 40 of those days with his disciples, amongst them, teaching them about this kingdom. This kingdom that would be here, but not yet. This kingdom that will be a glimpse of heaven on earth that they are going to be living in, how this kingdom works, what this kingdom is, just like he did each and every day while he was with them during his earthly ministry. It's been 40 days, and he ascends into the heavens, as the Bible teaches us. And he tells them in verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had, which he said, "You heard from me." The point being, the Holy Spirit was coming. Jesus was going to send his Spirit to them. In just a few days from now, 10 days to be exact, the Spirit would come in power. And we need to realize, Jesus is spending all this time preparing them for that moment. Just like he prepares us each and every day for these moments where his Spirit does come in power, because his Spirit does come in power today just like it did then. That glorious day when heaven meets earth once again. Because that is the kingdom, God's rule and reign here on earth as it is in heaven. Hence the Lord's Prayer, what he teaches us to pray for. God, your will be done, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's how God created things to be, in a garden far, far away in a time long ago. I said that really wrong. In a garden far away. I'm not even going to try anymore. Can you say that again, Patricia?
Long, long ago, in a garden.
Yes, long, long ago in a garden far away. I need to watch more Star Wars after church today. The point being, that's how God intended things to be. Heaven and earth were one in Eden. The presence of God was here with us physically as we were in the presence of God physically. Something that sin destroyed and separated. And if we look to the end of the story, the end of the history that God has given us, the revelation of Jesus Christ, what is it that we see? It's that God is bringing things back to that new and better Eden, to that place where heaven and earth once again overlap and are one and living in harmony together. And this is why. This is the why for the Holy Spirit here and now in you and in me. This is why he empowers his church as he explains to the disciples on this day of his ascension. That they would be baptized by the Spirit, it says in verse 5. But as we go on to verse 6 through 8, it says this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And it's here where we got to recognize something. The disciples, just like us, misunderstood what Jesus was teaching them about. They misunderstood this kingdom language that Jesus was teaching them about because they immediately said, okay, I guess it's time to restore the kingdom of Israel. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to flip too many pages in this wonderful gift God's given us, his word, to see the kingdom of Israel is messed up. It still is. Any earthly man-made kingdom is messed up. And what Jesus is talking about isn't something of this earth. It is something completely, entirely different. It is not a kingdom of this earth. It is a kingdom of heaven. It is God's kingdom, God's rule and reign here on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus is telling them how he is going to inaugurate that and give us but a glimpse, a taste, a foretaste of it. For that is what the Spirit of God becomes in our lives, is that glimpse, that foretaste of what things will be like, that we can experience heaven on earth right here, right now, through his Spirit. The Bible teaches us this, like 2 Corinthians 1:22, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And just a few chapters over in chapter 5, a place we went last Wednesday in our family night, and we discussed in depth what this meant to put off the old self and to put on that new self, to truly be able to say, yo, we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. When Paul says this, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And then there's Ephesians 1:14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Until the day we have possession of what has been promised, which is why Jesus tells them to wait, that the kingdom of God is coming here to earth as it is in heaven, and it was coming by and through the very Spirit of God indwelling and empowering them, indwelling and empowering us, as verse 8 shows us of Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To bring this into our own context, you will be my witnesses in Exeter, in all of Tulare County, in all of California, and to the ends of this world. Because this is who we were born again to be. This is who God reached into our lives and brought us back to Him, reconciled us back to Him, to be His witnesses, to go forth in the power of His Spirit on mission, to be those forerunners, just like John the Baptist, of transformation in others' lives all around us, not just right here in Exeter, but all the way around this world. That is the why, so that we would be agents, we would be ambassadors, as Paul would say, to God's kingdom come, His rule and reign here on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know if we've ever realized this, but in and through the Holy Spirit, you, as Paul would say, the temple of God, because each one of us are the temple of God, represent a place where heaven meets earth. Your life is a place where heaven meets earth. The intention of us going forth to be His witnesses, to be His ambassadors, is that that would pour out from us to others, that others would experience Jesus in and through us, that others would experience the power of God. Do they, though? So often, I think, in our culture, it's so easy for us to get lulled into this almost apathetic version of our faith that is no faith at all. Sure, we attend these really nice upbeat worship services where we have amazing musicians. And we do. We are so blessed with amazing musicians, and we have these emotional experiences, and they're great. But then we go back to life how it was before we entered these doors each and every week. Are we allowing the Spirit to move in power in us? Are we being open to what the Spirit is doing in our lives right before us? Are we doing, as Paul would say, to pray for those greater gifts? To pray that God would move miraculously in our lives. Are we doing that? Because if not, if we are not, we're missing the point. We're missing the point of who God created us to be as His church. And as people of His church, to be these witnesses, to be these ambassadors, to be that place where heaven meets earth. And I think about what I just experienced by going to Honduras. And I know George really gave a great testimony to explain this, and there's really nothing else I can say other than, wow. It's amazing to see what God's doing through His church in Honduras right now, through Heart to Honduras. It is amazing to see how they are becoming that place where heaven meets earth and going forth in their communities, bringing their communities together to improve the lives of the people in the name of Jesus. And you want to know who's leading the charge? It's not the government. It's not the government. It's not a social club or organization. Nothing wrong with social clubs or service clubs. They're great. We need them. But it's the church. The church is leading that charge. The church is what's bringing people together. The church is what's pointing people to how life can be better, because life can be better in Christ. He's called us to abundant life here and now. And that abundant life comes in and through His Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to see how the church in Honduras is bringing about this life-changing transformation in their communities, because they're being open to the Spirit leading. We have a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters in Honduras. And I pray for the day that Pastor Freddie can come and share with us about what God was doing, what God is doing there, and how, you know, that happened there, how God invited them into this, and how they were bold and willing to say yes. Because this is why the Holy Spirit comes. This is why God has made this choice to reside in us in spirit, because He intends to empower us much like He promised He would. Just like He promised He would, to empower us and give birth to the church. That moment we read about from Acts chapter 2 at the very beginning of our service, where God did what He continues to do to this day. We are the products of that first empowerment. We are the effect of that first cause. We stand in the line of generation after generation of faithful followers of Jesus who were willing to say yes. And because of them and their willingness to be open, to be that place where heaven meets earth, to be that place where others could meet God, we, each and every one of us, are in this room here today to continue on that tradition, to continue on that teaching, to be empowered to do just this. Because that's what God does through the Holy Spirit. Through His Spirit, He empowers us just how we're needed to be empowered when we're needing empowerment. If we think about that first time that we see this happening to the church in Acts chapter 2, what is it that's going on? Does anybody remember what was happening in Jerusalem at that time? Huh? No, it wasn't the Passover. That was the crucifixion. Feast of Booths. So it was a celebration that was 50 days after the Passover. And it was the Feast of Booths, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. So faithful Jews from all around the known world would gather in Jerusalem for this festival, for this Feast of Tabernacles. There are people, as it shows us in Acts chapter 2, of all languages. It actually says in verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven had gathered. That's a whole lot of languages, right? I'm trying to learn Spanish, and I'm struggling just to learn Spanish, and I'm still trying to learn English. The Spirit empowers the church just how the church needs empowered in the moment it found itself in. It gave. The Spirit of God gave. He gave the gift of languages to the church. And the Spirit of God will continue to do this in us today as is needed, when it is needed, bringing us back to where we began with our major question. Our grand challenge, the point of this whole time of hearing and responding to God's word today, how has the significance of this event and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life changed? How has the significance of Jesus' very Spirit, God's Spirit, coming into our lives to reside in us changed us? How has He empowered you, equipped you, guided you, and moved you to live in God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven each and every day, not just Sunday? Has this reality changed your life? Is your life a life marked as one led and shaped by His Holy Spirit? If not, why? What's holding you back? Bringing us to the bigger question, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been walking to live and walk in step with the Holy Spirit? Do you even want to? If you feel you haven't, and you're ready to, I would invite you today to come and receive this gift that is free for the taking. It is, the Holy Spirit is there. He is present. He is here with us and in us already. And if you're willing to step up and be bold and courageous and say, yes, Lord, use me. I invite you today to come and receive. And on the other hand, if you feel, yes, God's Spirit is moving in power in my life, you're not off the hook here. Because you need to be praying for those who are still seeking, praying for those who don't understand. You need to still be praying for those who need God's presence and power in their lives right now. And so I invite you to pray for those, but that we would all come, whether seeking or have already received, that we would all come to pray to the Lord for boldness, to pray for the Lord for courage, to pray to the Lord to continually and to receive and continually receive the power of His Spirit for the mission ahead of us. May we pray. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. As our worship team comes forward to prepare us in a time to respond to what it is the word of God has given us, Tammy, through the power of the Spirit, has a word to bring to us today. And without knowing what it was I was preaching on, she sent this to me last night and asked me to pray over how I think God would have it communicated to the people. And boy, it bored me. Because isn't it just like God to align hearts like this?
So Paul in Hebrews, as it closes, ended this blessing to the people. And he said in Hebrews 13, 20, 21, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so this is almost like a similar blessing for you, church. And it says, as we enter into the season of grace, what are the passions that God has put into your heart, O people of God? This is the season to dream, to not doubt and say, "I'm too old," or "it's too late." "I'm too busy," "I'm not gifted enough," "someday," "later." For some of you, time is running out, and this is your now. So dream, O people of God. Remember those promises God has declared over you, those stirrings, those prayers, those whispers in the quiet. Breathe in those promises that he has given you, everything that you need through Christ. He is for you. He has called you. Awake and believe.